Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Tonight our topic is Money Savvy Travel Hacks, and our guest is Bob Wheeler. I think we're going to have a very interesting dialogue tonight. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, the idea of travel and taking vacation and this whole thing of checking out of your busy life and relaxing and letting go of all the things you think about when you're engaged in your life. I used to remember when I'd go on vacation, I'd sit on the beach and I'd relax, and the next day I'd relax a little more, and the next day I'd come back from vacation going to work, and I felt so rested, so at ease with myself. And then the emotional aerobics would start up again, and within a few weeks I'd come home emotionally spent, ready to crash on the couch, totally wiped out. I like the analogy in the sense that there can be two sides to us when we're busy working and we're engaged, and perhaps we don't even take the time within a day's span to stop and be still and reconnect with ourselves. The idea that there's peace, literal, palatable peace that can be found within us all the time, forever. And not everybody values it because they don't understand the immense gift that peace has. You know, like, for example, if you're a human being and you have this idea that, well, I'm me, I'm this persona, I'm this ego, and if something happens to my body, I die. And that's certainly a very common perception in our collective culture. But if you take one step back and you look at it from the perspective of your soul, the idea of a soul is your soul literally had a perception, an idea, a vision of what your life could be. And so you existed as that soul, and then you were born or incarnated into this physical form. And this physical form is no more absolute to who you are than anything on earth. I mean, before you were born, your soul was there, but you didn't have any atoms. You didn't have a body. And now you have a body, and you have an ego. And what happens is when you spend enough time thinking about, well, wait a minute, I'm not this mind. I'm not this ego. You didn't have an ego when you were born. You had a body, but you didn't have an ego. You're not your ego. Your ego is a creation of this lifetime. And the thing that runs all of this, your body, your ego, your whole life, is the life force energy that comes to you from your soul. So when you shift your identity from being this ego, from being this mind, to the truth of you, which is indeed you are a soul, and the consciousness that is required for your ego to even exist doesn't come from your ego, but it comes from your soul. I mean, I know people don't think about this every day, but what I'm saying is to take the time to recognize that you are a soul who chose this particular lifetime, chose to come here in physical form, and here you are now listening to the radio show. When you can recognize that no matter what happens in your human condition, the truth of you is untouchable by human intentions. You're safe. You're whole and you're complete now. No matter what your ego perceives, you're safe, you're whole, and you're complete. And to really get that, a sense of peace comes again. Boy, I keep coming back to peace. Do you think the world needs a little more peace? You know, peace is not going to force itself on you. Peace is not going to strong arm its way into your persona. When you look at the TV and there's all this crap going on, and you go, holy, you know, how insane can this stuff get? I wish there was peace on earth. The only way peace can exist on earth is when human beings discover it within their own being. And I tell you what, if your ego's afraid or disconnected, maybe it's time to shift your awareness to your soul essence. Maybe it's time to take a step back and recognize that your ego's like a flipping housefly flying through the room, changing tangents every millisecond with no continuity in its sense of self. And your soul is so vast and deep in understanding of every human condition possible. If you want to see peace on planet Earth, take the time to learn about the peace that is in you now. It's always available in every moment forever. It's a core essence of who you are. And if your life's so busy that you would really appreciate some peace, maybe it's time for a vacation. What the hell? Wouldn't that be cool? The idea of taking a vacation is a great way to reset your internal clock. And I want to shift the dialogue to our show tonight. We've had Bob Wheeler on a couple of times. I love his humor, his perception. He's just an all-around first-rate guy. And everyone deserves an escape from work now and then. And you don't need to break your piggy bank. You can make the most of your vacation dollars by planning ahead and using money-savvy travel hacks to create an oasis of fun and relaxation. Our guest, Bob Wheeler, will take a look at this as summer travel comes into our event horizon, if you will. His crusade for holistic personal growth has cross-pollinated, I'd like to watch that in action, with his accounting practices to deliver a new approach to personal finances. Bob explores the emotions surrounding financial decisions in his recent book, The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. His passion is to help others gain insight on why their emotions trigger financial decisions. I love that. Join me in welcoming Bob Wheeler to the show. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, thank you, Les. It's great to be here. Always nice to be here and talking about ways to make our lives better and save a little money and then just make it more fulfilled. So that's I love these things.
Yeah, I love you betcha. Well, the idea of travel can be something we don't really pay much attention to because we're busy in our life. I mean, it takes an effort to say, wait a minute, I need a break. And a lot of times we can set travel aside because we think we can't afford it. And I like the idea of being very conscious about how we travel. And that brings us to our topic tonight, the idea of money-savvy travel. What would you say is the overall idea of being savvy with your money when it comes to travel?
Well, I think the biggest thing to really do is plan ahead, budget, and do your research. Because if you just go on an impulse, if you don't plan ahead, you're going to miss discounts. You're not going to make time for it, and then you're just in a reactive mode if you even make it out the door and get on the plane or get on the road. So it's really about planning ahead, budgeting, and doing your research.
Well, how did you come across understanding that perspective of bringing some planning and strategy to that?
Well, you know, unfortunately, some of it was from experience, not doing it the right way. You know, for me early on, I actually didn't really travel a lot, even though it sounded really romantic and very exciting, because I had a belief that only rich people could travel. And that was something that my parents always said, only rich people travel. So that was actually just off the radar initially. And what happened was a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to go to Greece with me and run this marathon? It's the original course of the marathon. And I thought, well, that's a good reason to go because, you know, you can't really just go on vacation. You have to do something. And I took a trip to Greece, first time I left the country, and it had a real profound effect on me because I didn't think it was possible. So I broke all these barriers. And I learned a lot about myself, and I realized I love to travel, love to meet other people, love to experience other cultures. It opened my mind. It let me tap into my creativity. And so I really made it a priority to start traveling around the world. But a couple of things in the early years, I didn't have a lot of money, and I took a trip to Nepal via India, and I had pulled a bunch of money out of the ATM in India thinking that I could use the money in Nepal, but it doesn't work that way. You have to use the money of that country. So I, hundreds of dollars in Indian currency, I get to Nepal, and they're like, we don't take that here unless you're Indian. You're American. You got to pull out the dollars. Well, I didn't have any money, and Nepal doesn't have ATMs. At that time, they didn't have ATMs. So I had no money. My friend and I were fighting. She wasn't about to give me a dime, and I ended up, fortunately, have called somebody in the States and had them wire me some money, and I was able to continue my vacation. But a lot of just, you know, going by the seat of my pants and spending a lot of money that I didn't necessarily need to spend. So I learned over time, if I actually planned ahead, saved my money, did the research, that I could actually cash in on discounts, I could cash in on lower fares, and I could make the most of my trip. Because I believe everybody should take a break from their everyday routines. And I read recently that 54% of Americans did not go on vacation last year.
And you know we're stressed out. You know we're watching the media and we're watching what's going on in the country. It's and more than half of us didn't take a vacation. Wow.
Yeah. And you know it's funny when I sometimes get busy and I say, you know what, I'm going to put that off. Because I actually schedule vacations in. I put them in, you know what, even if I don't take – see, and then we also think we have to take a four-week vacation or we've got to make it big. So sometimes I just plan a four-day weekend and say, you know what, I'm leaving the office on Wednesday night and I'm not coming back until Monday. And I just take a trip somewhere local. Just went to Colorado Springs this last weekend, took off 4 days. So it doesn't have to be huge. Yeah, it's You know how beautiful Colorado is. It's a nice break from L.A. And you know, but even those, you know, but for even for me, those first couple, sometimes the first day or so, I'm confused because I'm not doing things. And oh, right, it's sometimes nice to just be with myself. Oh, that's a new experience because we get so busy that we just don't take the time to nurture ourselves with that downtime.
You know, I can really see a common relationship between your book talking about the emotions of money, and you were just talking about stigmas you had about travel. It sounds like a common theme here, where we have these notions, these preconceptions in our mind that life is this way or that way, and
right.
to break through that stigma within your own persona. I mean, what kind of tips do you have to do that?
Well, the first thing is I tell people, you know, dream big. Where do you want to go? What do you want? You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to lay on a beach? Do you want to take a cruise? Do you want to spend a couple weeks on a sailboat? Like, there's so many different possibilities. And I don't count weddings and funerals and family things as vacation. Just for anybody out there thinking that. Those are not vacations. I do plan trips with my family. Well, we'll do reunions and things like that where there's no agenda other than hanging out. But I think it's important to get a sense of what would fulfill you. Would it be taking a train ride across the countryside or whatever that may be and figure that out for you? The other thing I think it's important is to just actually – I'm a big believer in budgets, And I actually have travel vacation in my budget. So I've got my monthly expenditures and I got my mortgage, and I also have my, you know, $500 or $200 or whatever it is for each person, just putting that aside into my travel savings account so that when it comes time to take that big trip, or even if I just want to take a shorter trip that's a little bit more impulsive but still planned out a few days ahead so I'm not paying the high airfares, I've got that money socked away just for my travels. And I mean, there's some great ways to do this. There are a lot of fixed cost trips. So there are a lot of trips where you can go to Europe and you can see 14 countries in 13 days. And even though they're running you on the bus and you're getting through, that's a great way to go and explore all of Europe and then say, you know what, now I'll come back and I'll see Germany the next time I'm here. Or now I'm going to spend a couple weeks in Spain. So that's one way to do it. But it's really just start to just planning that mentally into your daily life, into your routine. I'm gonna save some money for vacation. Now, one of the things, my Colorado trip is funny. I broke my own rule. I had gotten this credit with an airline, and I won't say who, but so I wanted to use up my $100 credit, and it got all messed up, and they had something wrong with my name. And so by the time they fixed it, the airfare had gone up a couple $100, so I really wasn't getting my $100 credit. I went with what I thought was a discount airline. By the time I paid the extra fees for carry-on, picking my seat, paying for my ticket, like to actually print it out, I ended up spending a couple $100 more than I would have if I had just bought a regular ticket. So
right.
My weekend trip cost $500 just to fly back and forth, because I got fixated on trying to get my credit, and I got fixated on thinking I'd found the cheapest, and I hadn't really done my homework. So every once in a while, even though I pride myself on staying on top of things, every once in a while, you know, I wasn't paying attention, and boom, it cost me. And now for me, it was, you know, yeah, I can handle the extra couple $100. For people that are really on a tight budget or money's tight, you know, really planning ahead so that you're not getting caught with surprises is really, really important. You know, that's why I like the fixed cost trips, because you pay your money, you don't have to fork anything else out. That's it.
Right. And you know, to be surprised with, like, when you get up to the gate and they said, oh, you can't take that carry-on without paying some more. You know, well, I got thinking about it. Everything's search engine based. So when you go to travel, you're going to go find a flight. They want to have the lowest possible number in that initial
right.
search. And then
exactly.
they delay the cost of, you know, breathing and, you know, using the bathroom. I'm kidding.
No, it felt like that.
Yeah, you know.
I was and if you don't plan on it, I was sitting and I had paid ahead because somebody had told me, well, now you're stuck with that airline. You better pay ahead for the carry-on. And as I was sitting there, they said over the intercom, when we start boarding, if you haven't already paid for your carry-on, the price will now go to $100. And
right.
we all thought it was a joke. Thought they were joking. But I got on the plane because I had prepaid, and they segregated us out. And they said, no, we have to take care of everybody that hasn't paid. There was a lot of angry people that got on that plane right behind me.
Oh, sure.
Because they had to pay $100. They weren't counting on it. And that's not a great way to start your vacation.
Well, it seems like when the economy is so parched, to me it looks like somebody took a shot back and just sucked all the currency out of the economy. When there's just fumes left, everything's hinging around the smallest thing. In other words, we're talking about an airline being picky about bags you carry on. If we go back 30 years in the airline industry, you know, you could take your tough shed on carry on if you wanted to. And
right.
and there wasn't any concern about it. But that's what I like about the show. When it's time to travel, you don't need those kind of stress points when you get up to a gate and there's some question mark about such simple events. That
right.
the whole idea of relaxing with a vacation is kind of thrown out the window as you have to swim in these details.
Yeah, and it's they're little things that set you back, and they trigger you, and you just weren't planning on them. And hey, I just want to go on vacation. I'm ready to let it go. And then these little things just like dig at you. And so, you know, it's important to just plan ahead, strategize. It's funny, I was talking to my aunt, and I was joking about how much money I spent. And she said, well, you know, if I had known you were flying that airline, I would have told you, because your cousin ended up wearing 6 pairs of clothes so that he wouldn't have to pay for the carry-on. So when he arrived at the airport, he had all his clothes. He's like, I didn't pay for carry-on. So he planned ahead.
Wow, pretty that funny. Sounds pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was rough.
Well, how do you find out those kind of details? How do you take the surprise out of travel?
So what I typically do is when I'm looking at airlines, like let's say I do a search on the best airline prices, then I'll actually research the actual airlines if I have never heard of them and start seeing if there's some Yelp reviews or just if there's feedback on the internet from other people that have traveled with those airlines and saying, yeah, it looks like a good deal, but it's not so great, or, hey, I had a really good experience, but just be aware of this and that. And so then I can look at the facts and say, okay, I know they'll nickel and dime me, but as long as I don't do this, this, and this, I'm not going to really get hit with anything. And so I do my research. I also, again, I really like the fixed cost trips when I'm going overseas, because then I'm not having to worry about my meals. I'm not worrying about getting ripped off. And because that was my biggest fear the first time when I went to Greece, I didn't know how to do the exchange rate. It was so scary for me, even though I handle money, it was foreign. And so I just had this emotional block about I'm not going to be able to handle anything. So if I know that everything's taken care of up front, that really helps me. So I really like to do my research. And then I also just look for Groupon, or there's all kinds of deals out there. There have been occasions where I've been so busy that I didn't feel like I could take a long vacation, and I would just book a vacation at the downtown. Like, I live in L.A., Santa Monica, so I would book I'd get a luxury hotel downtown, book it for 3 days, and I'd just go downtown. So, I mean, I just had to drive across town, but I got out of my own rhythm of things, and it got me out of my daily grind, and it was just enough to go and give myself a little pampering, go get a massage, have a nice dinner, and just force myself to take a break. Because most of us keep making excuses of, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to take a break tomorrow, and we just keep putting it off. And you just really have to force yourself. I have a good friend of mine, his wife, they've got a couple of kids. Once a month, She gets a hotel for 2 days, and he takes care of the kids, and she goes off and takes a vacation. And it's
well,
just
very
enough
nice.
That she comes back, you know. And then she comes back, she's nice and happy, and the kids miss her, and she's ready to go again.
Well, it's that idea of rejuvenation that brings new energy into all the relationships. We run ourselves dry when we don't take the time and make the space to reset our inner clock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes a toll on our mental health, and it takes a toll on our physical health because, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but basically people that take vacations are less likely to have heart attacks and less likely to have accidents. Your sleeping suffers when you don't take breaks. Your digestion of your food. I mean, there's so many things that if we don't give them a rest, we're just overtaxing them. And we are a country of stressed out people.
Sure. And there's so many places we can go right here in the United States too. We don't, like you were saying, you don't have to make a big ordeal out of it. Sometimes it's exploring what's right down the road that you've never taken the time to investigate. And that can be just as much of a reset as traveling overseas or, you know, to some other country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's national parks. There's lots of great national parks. You can camp. You can stay in their lodges. I've seen quite a few of the national parks. It's a great way to go. And even when I was back in Tennessee and Georgia a few weeks ago, and I was going to all these little touristy things that are just local, you know, Sea Rock City and Ruby Falls and all these things that I'd never really done as a kid because we had a big family and my folks couldn't afford it. And I just dropped into all these little things, and this one cost $20 and that was $10. And got to really see some great local culture. And there's so much of that, whether you're in New Mexico or Colorado, Pikes Peak, and there's so many beautiful places in this country that don't really cost a whole lot of money.
So you were talking about these all-inclusive packages. How do you investigate those and find good value when it comes to, you know, getting a European package?
Well, you know, the great thing with the Internet these days is a lot of stuff you can, you know, Google or engine search it, and stuff will come up. There are still travel agencies out there where people help you book overseas travel, and they can also help you find those. So I would, you know, find a local travel agent, start conversations with them, and then I would also just go to the Internet and type in to those countries where you want to go and see if you can find some of those. AAA does a lot of travel planning for people local and overseas. They have amazing resources, so I've gone to AAA. There's so many places that you can find where they'll tell you, hey, there's these three trips, and this one costs this much. If you want to spend a little less, it's this much. If you want alcohol on your trip, it's this much, so that you can really, really get a sense of what your budget is and what's available to you so that you can actually just go and have a good time.
And I know travel agents can be very forward-thinking. I used AAA when I went to Europe, and I had a lot of the passes and tokens for public transportation before I left the country.
Yeah, see, that's great. And they know all that stuff. They tell it to you. So you were primed.
It's so nice to get off a plane and go to the public transportation and have your travel pass already there. You didn't have to go hunt down how to do that, especially when there's a language difference, and having it all laid out in beforehand can really save, you know, the hassle of like we were talking about when you go to get on a plane, or if you land in another country and you've got to figure out the train fare or the next step of it. That kind of takes the whole point of a vacation out of the loop when there's that layer of stress to it.
Well, for sure. It's funny. You just started to talk about the language. I laugh because my friends all give me grief, because whenever I travel to a foreign country, I make sure I take a friend or somebody that speaks the language so that I have my own interpreter. And it gets me out of so much trouble. So I've always just traveled with somebody that either knows the language pretty well or is from that area, so that people treat us much nicer because they're speaking the language and I don't get taken advantage of. And it takes the stress off me because I don't speak many languages.
Oh, sure. Well, what about the different types of travel? I mean, like you mentioned, taking a train and traveling cross country, you know, or even a road trip. I remember as a kid, we traveled from Utah to the Atlantic coast, and to physically see the entire United States because you literally drove through it. The transportation you use can really have an impact on how you experience something, don't you think?
Absolutely. And right now, gas prices are pretty good, and so a lot more people are traveling again. Traveling by car is a great way. I used to travel in my pickup truck. I had a camper shell, and I would just travel by myself, and I had a sleeping bag in the back of my truck, and I would drive and drive just cross country, and then when I got to a place, I was tired, I'd just pull over and jump in the back of my pickup and sleep for a few hours at a rest stop and then go on my merry way. So I didn't really spend a whole lot of money. I mean, if you've got, you know, kids and stuff, it's not quite as easy to do that. I was, you know, a little younger and single, and it was easy. But there's boats. The trains are great. In California, a lot of times when people come to visit, I'll say, let's jump on a train and go up to Santa Barbara. and or let's jump on a train and go to San Diego. And they just love going up and down the coast. And you don't have to worry about the driving, and they've got food, and they got internet. So you can do all kinds of things. I've cruises, sailboats, there's river cruises. There's so many different ways to do it. I've went to the Grand Canyon, traveled on mules, which was a little scary, but it was fun. Wouldn't do it again, but it was a good one-time experience. there's so many things out there, and I think it's so good to just actually give yourself a little bit of the good life, right? We all work really hard, and we deserve to give ourselves a little bit of a break and a little bit of a gift back to ourselves to really just nurture ourselves.
You know, when I like the idea of doing something you haven't done before, like perhaps traveling on mules. I remember when I took a train for the first time, I was a pretty hyper kid, and I'm used to driving, and it's like,
right.
Well, let's get there now. And it took me about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, to realize it doesn't matter a rat's ass what I think about when we should be there. We're not going to get there until we get there.
Right.
I mean, I had to let go of the pace of my life because it was now out of my control.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you get on a train and it pulls into a stop. You can't go up to the conductor and say, excuse me, you know, I'm feeling anxious. Can we? And
move it.
And it's part of that surrender. So perhaps if you've always traveled through the air, perhaps if you've always gone overseas, a nice idea for a new kind of vacation is to mix it up and perhaps take a train and go to some place in the United States you haven't seen. There's some fresh blood in a new experience, I think, where you experience something for the first time, and it changes who you are. You grow as a person as a result of that.
Absolutely. And there's so many things. One of the things I like to do during the summer is I like to Google and see where all the festivals are. There's local festivals. There's a garlic festival. There's a flower festival. There's a wheat festival. There's a corn festival. And there's so many of those across the country. And even when you travel to other countries, it's great to see what are all the free events that are happening, what kind of festivals. Or, you know, for those people that want to make it a practical vacation as well, if you love wine, then go to wine country. Go to Italy or tour the vineyards. Or take a cooking class. Or if you're a history buff, go explore all the forts and museums across the country. Or look for biking. There's a lot of people that do bike travel. There's even for people that like are interested in elephants and animals. You can go take a vacation where you work for 2 weeks at an animal sanctuary. And then you're, you know, or you can do, there's trips where you can go and you can excavate with an excavation team, and you get to feel like you're an archaeologist. And so there's all kinds of ways that you can just get out of your comfort zone and do something that you've always wanted to do. And it's not that expensive.
Well, I like that. The idea of budgeting, so before the vacation, you're putting the money away every month. The idea of investigating and researching who you're choosing to use and what their expected and unexpected expenses are, and then the trip itself. So when you take the time to plan your vacation out, you're really setting yourself up to really enjoy it without the figuring it out as you go problem.
Absolutely, and I can tell you, especially in a foreign country, if you're going to just wing it, that can be really scary and frustrating and costly. And, you know, you take that time to really plan ahead and budget out, all you're doing is just enjoying your free time because everything else has already been handled. You're not trying to figure out You know, I've seen people arrive at places only to find out, oh, yeah, they're closed on Sunday. The museum's closed. Or, yeah, the Eiffel Tower's been shut down for the week. Or, oh, yeah, when I got to Machu Picchu, they were getting ready to go on strike. And luckily I missed it by 2 days, so I got to take my trip. But, you know, if you just wing it, and some people enjoy that. But for me, when I go on a vacation, I want to go on vacation. I want to just... I don't have to be pampered, but I don't want to have to deal with the stuff that I deal with in my everyday life.
Right. Well, so I like the idea where you talked about your wife would take a vacation without you.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing up the company in a vacation, like, you know, I'm on vacation right now because I'm leaving tomorrow to go camping with my buddies, and we've done this for 30 years now. Every year in the middle of July, we all meet and go camping in the Colorado mountains. And a friend of mine's flying in from Florida, and I'll drive out in the backwoods to this guy's property, and you know. We've been talking about the kind of vacation where it's new and different. I know exactly where I'm going tomorrow. I know exactly who I'm going to meet. And yet I'm so excited to go and do the same thing that I've done for 30 years because of who I'm with.
Right. And you know, you still get to take a break from your daily and you get to do it with people that you're comfortable with.
Oh, sure. And there's something about a big-ass campfire and a cigar and and the beautiful night sky.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm jealous already. That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And it's fun to do.
You know,
yeah.
Well, like hearing... I'm getting smarter with time, and I know it's hard to imagine, but as I go by in the years, I'm starting to recognize the time of the year when I expect to go camping. Because, like now, we're having fires, wildfires in Colorado, and the later months are drier, period, end of story. July, August are probably the two driest months in Colorado. And I'm realizing that, and I'm like, well, why don't I have an annual camping trip that I create by my, you know, I can find some friends here in Denver and say, why don't we go every year the weekend after Easter and go camping up in the mountains? And what I'm getting at is, like a lot of times when you go to a venue, it can be packed in July. And if you were to come a month earlier, you would have a whole different experience. So I guess the timing of when you go to do something can decide what kind of an experience you have from it.
For sure. And that's, you know, if you don't, if you're not paying attention and you show up in the middle of, you know, you plan a vacation where they're having the next Super Bowl and you're going for that weekend, you're not getting a hotel. You're out
like
of luck.
That.
So it's important to plan ahead and check out what's going on around you at the same time. For me, it's funny. I know when I haven't taken a vacation in a while and I need to go on one is because all my clients know about all my travel. So they'll always say, what cool country are you going to this year? Or what did you do? And if, you know, there were a couple of years there, I was just convincing myself I was too busy, so I'd say, I didn't go anything, and they're going, hey, what's wrong with you, man? You're always going on these amazing vacations. I'm always getting inspired to go on my vacations, and now you're telling me you just stayed and did taxes? Ah, get a life, you know. And I need to get back to my rhythm of taking those vacations, because it's easy to tell yourself, well, I've got to answer my emails, or the world can't function if I'm not at my desk, or what will people say if I'm gone for 2 weeks? You know, all my clients and all the people in my surroundings are thrilled when I take a vacation, partly because I'm out of their life for 2 weeks, and then partly because, you know, they know I'm taking care of myself.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's we spend our lifetime, and there's these people in our life. Perhaps it's our family, perhaps it's our friends, and perhaps it's people we've known a long time. You know, As I sit here, I'm thinking about how much I value and going camping with the boys every year for 30 years.
Right.
You know, we've had several of us pass away. And
right.
I tell you what, this year, what I'm getting at here is I suggest to the listener to create an annual ritual with your friends where you all meet somewhere. I don't think the event is nearly as important as the ritual, because this year, I mean, we lost a guy over this last year that he shouldn't have gone from our book. He was one of the younger guys, and we're calling each other weeks out, and we're all so excited to see each other. And I mean, it's really gone up a click because we really value who we are and to go and spend time with each other. It really accentuates the value of meaningful relationships to have that kind of a ritual.
Absolutely, and I agree. It's that ritual, and it's not even necessarily what you do. My family, both my parents had lots and lots and lots of family, and we all get together because we don't see each other, but we do it like every 7 years. We'll pick a location, and we all get together and catch up with what's gone over the last 7 years, and it really has, and even though maybe we should do it more, everybody's got kids, or everybody's got kids that's got kids, but even that every 5, 6, 7 years, getting to reconnect with everybody face to face just reaffirms and rebinds our connections, and it's great
to know when there's a funeral, and I know funerals aren't vacations. When there's a funeral, to know the person, to know who you're looking at. I mean, what I really like about tomorrow when we all meet at the campsite is I don't have to explain anything about myself. I can go right into dialogue, and everybody knows how I talk, what I mean, and there's no, you know, if I meet a new person, I need to explain the history of something, and I have to explain why it's important or whatever. And with these old time friends, you pick up where you left off. I mean, a lot of us work side by side for a decade or more, and we really know each other. And then the camaraderie kicks in where, you know, it really brings a quality of life to have that kind of connection. And the idea of travel as a way to share time with those people in your life, I think it affords a nice space because it's nobody's turf. We're not going to anybody's house. We're going to the neutral ground of a foreign country or at a hotel or something. Because in our society, everything, you know, there's so much hype about money and position and title and what you own. But the relationship we have with people, I think, is on a whole different tier as far as sincere value to this human experience we're having.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, to me, the relationships are really the most important thing. Even with my clients, I'm more interested in the relationship with my client rather than am I going to make an extra couple hundred bucks for doing this extra schedule. At the end of the day, I'm interested in my client, and if I'm not in relationship with my client, I don't really want to have him as a client because I'm looking at the relationship. And traveling, whether it's with family, whether it's friends, I'm on this earth. I want to have connection with other people, and I want to be in relationship, and so I want to make sure that I'm handling my budget and my finances so that I can make sure that I can afford to really keep reaffirming the relationships that I have that aren't in my day-to-day life.
Well, I like that. Well, let's talk about you and your platform here. So you've written a book, The Money Nerve, Navigating
the
Emotions of, yeah. And you're trying, you're helping people understand their relationship with money as far as, it hints around the emotional relationship we have?
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, so many, you know, I've worked with so many people where I give them logical, practical advice, and then they turn around and do something completely different. And I started to realize, well, they're tied to their emotions. And so I've really worked with people to help them explore their money blocks, what are their money belief systems that keep them from making choices that don't serve them. And the Money Nerve has been a great platform for me because I use that as a basis. I do a lot of workshops. I go out and work with people one-on-one, and I also, at the beginning of this year, started a podcast called Funny Money, Funny Money Talks, and we talk about a lot of stuff that people just don't want to talk about because it sometimes gets so boring, and really trying to get people to understand that they have to participate in their financial situation. Nobody's going to take care of my finances better than me in terms of being aware of where I'm spending it and all that. So really getting people to be intentional and conscious about the choices that they make when it comes to money is a big priority for me, because I know that even – I was talking to my financial advisor buddy the other day. Even I sometimes I'll make an impulse decision on an emotion when it comes to investing than about the practicalities, because we're emotional beings. We're not just logical – otherwise we'd be robots.
So you said you hold workshops. Are those in California, or do you travel around?
Well,
to hold those?
I do them in different places. I'm actually working on a workshop up in Montreal and in Vancouver and New York, Denver. And I just – if you go to the Money Nerve website, it lists out different workshops that I might have coming up. I look to find other people that have a similar mindset, and then I – say, hey, let me come to your city and let's do something together. And just because I just feel like it's so important. My whole life is when I was a child, money was really tight. We didn't have a lot of it. And I saw what other people were able to do. And I saw what I wasn't able to do because money or lack of held me back. And a lot of it was actually in my mind as much or more than it was about the actual reality of money. And so really, for me, it's helping people to shift that belief that, you know, I can't have that because I don't have the money, because that's not true. We're prisoners of our own mind, I think, when it comes to money. And, so the more I can get people to have a shift or have a realization or have a life-changing experience, that just really fills me.
So you knew early on you were going to be doing this as part of your life purpose?
You know, I it's funny. I actually did. I was thinking about that the other day. I realized I had already started trying to figure out how do I reach people and what kind of workshops can I do. And I had actually I didn't do anything with it other than I was planning it and cultivating it and thinking about it. It took me a while because at the time I didn't think I really had the skill set to go out and talk or share or stand up, and who was I to have an opinion? And so I just was doing the work, and at a certain point I said, yeah, I'm ready. This stuff is important, and I want to make an impact, and I think everybody has the ability to make an impact on the people around them and on the world, and to me that's what we're here for. We're here to be in connection. We're here to make an impact if we so choose.
And when you choose to do that, to make an impact, when you choose to honor that role, that impulse you have that comes from within you to help others, to connect with others, it makes you feel good. I mean,
yeah.
As you do that, because from the last time we've talked, it seems like you're expanding your platform here. Because you're engaged in the process and you're growing who you are and you're growing your platform as service, that's got to feel good to you over time.
Well, you know, it does. It's funny. I was doing this. I assisted this school of core energetics, and I was leading some. Movement and leading some people through some process. And everybody came up to me and said, "Oh my God, that was so amazing!" And I said to the director, "I sort of feel bad. Everybody really, really loved it. Now I feel like I have to do something like perfect." She looked at me and she said, "The whole point of doing this stuff is to actually let yourself feel good about what you bring." And I went, oh, I'm allowed to feel good that I'm helping people. Great, because I enjoy it. And absolutely, it feels good. And I think that's why we're all here. I mean, who doesn't want to feel good? There's enough craziness out in the world that, I prefer to choose love and consciousness and joy. I want to feel good.
So do you work with people one-on-one outside of California over the internet?
I do. Yeah, I do. I do Skype sessions with people, so I do one-on-one coaching, 1 hour sessions via Skype, and I work with one-on-ones. I work with groups, and anything in between. So, absolutely.
So, who's your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody that actually wants to shift their thinking and actually wants to be the better version of themselves. Because I meet some people that I'll say, hey, you're going to have to do some work here. Are you willing to do this and this? And they'll say, nope. And there's no point in working with those people, because we have to be willing to step into the unknown. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable. We have to be willing to reflect on the choices that we've made in the past and decide if we want to do it differently, to be in consciousness. Otherwise, we just bury our heads in the sands and exist.
So how would people engage your platform? Like, would getting your book be a starting point?
Well, reading the book is a great place for people to start and see if that's something that resonates with them. I hear a lot of people tell me that they feel like I snuck into their brain and wrote the book from their perspective, and that makes me feel good that there's a common thread there. But reading the book, I'm available at themoneynerve.com. I have a lot of people send me emails and ask me stuff and then become engaged that way. Or I've had people heard me on the radio and called up and said, can I have a session and will you work with me? So people find me different ways, but for me, I'm available and I do respond back to people that have questions, even just if they're, putting their foot in the water, send me an email, give me a call, and I'm open.
And then you travel for your workshop. So is
right.
there an event calendar online where people can see if you're coming into there?
Yeah, absolutely. They can. There's a calendar on the Money Nerve website, and a lot of people have started liking us and joining us on Facebook and following us, and that always has events and places where that I'm either speaking or doing workshops.
Well, nice. Well, an hour can go by pretty fast. Do you have some closing thoughts for us?
Well, I would just say value your time and value yourself. Make sure you budget and plan to give yourself a little pampering and give yourself a vacation. You deserve it.
Very nice. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show, Bob. I really enjoy your enthusiasm and your sincerity and the service you bring to others. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure. I love interacting with people, and I really believe what I'm talking about. I'm not just giving lip service, and I always appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. We've been talking with Bob Wheeler about money-savvy travel hacks. And, when you invest in yourself and realize how much potential we have, I think so often we can get caught up in our current condition where we have a job, we have a place we live, we have a relationship, and we go through the motions, and we're not, that in and of itself can tax us and consume a lot of our attention, awareness, and energy. But, you know, the idea, going back to that notion of you being a soul, you being a soul personified in this human condition, there's always more power, personal power, we can discover about ourselves. The human story is timeless. You know, one of my favorite books that I've never read is this really thick book on mythology I have in my bookcase. And all I have to do is open it up to any page, any chapter, and it talks about a culture of humans and how they perceive the nature of life. And I can turn the page a few times and find a completely different one. And what I like about that big thick book on mythology is that the story that we're living individually and the story we're living collectively is just a chapter of our human condition. And so often we'll get caught up in our own stigma where we can think we're stuck personally, or we can think we're stuck collectively. And for our minds, our egos, that can be overwhelming to us because we don't have that higher perspective of what's really going on, because behind every human face is a soul. Behind every human story is a timeline that is much more vast than any personal condition or struggle or paradigm that's playing out. And so often when we see the collective wrestle with itself, and the media doesn't always help us see the good or see the human potential behind it all, I suggest it helps us individually and collectively when we can recognize that we're always, always bigger than any problem or condition that comes along. When we recognize within ourselves individually that there's always another chapter, there's always another moment of opportunity, that we're never really stuck, that we can always grow our potential, our persona, our demeanor, and there's no end to that. I suggest when your ego, when your mind can understand the value, to understand the value of bringing the inspiration of your heart and your soul into your everyday life. And that's easy to say, but to get your ego to trust the vision, the dream that your soul has for your life, and then to actually show up with a sense of excitement, with a sense of believing, even though what you see outside might not suggest that the dream is possible, but your heart and your soul, they're trying to inspire you to show up. They're there to inspire you to trust yourself, that even though you're not experiencing the dream, the vision they're showing you now, it doesn't mean it can't happen, because we always have that more potential. And what I'm getting at here is to grow your idea of potential in your everyday life. I'm a soul having this human experience. I'm bigger than my condition. And I can take this opportunity to discover more about who I am. Well, you chose to join us tonight, and I thank you for that, because you showed up for yourself. Go to newhumanliving.com, and we have a whole archive of radio shows from wonderful guests like Bob Wheeler tonight. When you're about to get on a plane or you're going to travel somewhere, you need something to listen to, or even in your everyday commute. How nice would it be to pick a topic out? Perhaps it's about money or your emotions or the power of love or healing your heart. Those are always powerful things to consider. Go to newhumanliving.com and look at the radio tab and pull up a show and take a listen to it and honor who you are. Well, it's been my pleasure hosting the show tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.